Hey guys, it's your girl Didi and you're tuned in to the Called Out podcast, where it's all things pertaining to Christ. Amen. Guys, I'm back. How are you guys? I hope you guys are doing well by his grace. As always, before we kickstart, I always just open up in prayer. So, amen. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to gather here today to minister to your people, to give a word that you have put on my heart, or Heavenly Father, to even relay this episode, or Heavenly Father, that you spoke to me to do, or Heavenly Father, I just want to pray that indeed you will actually be present here today, Father Lord, that you will indeed arrest my tongue and speak through me, oh God, that you will grant me utterance, oh Heavenly Father, Lord God, and indeed you'll grant me the tongue of the learned, oh Heavenly Father. May I speak things that are not from man, oh Heavenly Father, but indeed from God, oh Heavenly Father, and I pray for everybody listening, everybody watching, oh God, that they will actually be edified by today's episode, oh Heavenly Father, that God, this will not just be just words just from the flesh, but actually by the Spirit, you know, spirit to spirit, oh Heavenly Father, that it will minister to somebody today, Father Lord, and encourage somebody, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Honestly, I have not done episode by myself in so long. It just feels so weird, like, you know, when you don't have someone that you can be looking to your left and conversing with somebody, it's deeper. Like, now it's just me and the camera, but you know, we get used to it by God's grace. Guys, today I just thought to do an episode about my testimony. I haven't really shared properly, fully my testimony on my podcast. And I was like, you know, for the new viewers who don't actually know me, I'm Didi. When I normally kind of share my testimony, I always start off by saying, you know, like, I don't really have one like that. Because you know when, like, somebody's like, yeah, they was on the roads, like, they was doing a madness, like, they was outside. I'm always like, yeah, but I wasn't really like that. So I'm kind of like, oh, but is my testimony really anything? But you need to understand that for Christ to deliver you from the world, to be in Christ, it doesn't matter if you wasn't out here, if you're not in Christ, period. Because that's when we like to kind of rank sins and be like, oh, yeah, I was calm in the world, so, you know, that was fine. No, but actually, sin is sin, and God abhors, he hates sin. So naturally, even if you weren't doing a madness, you weren't being a city girl, you weren't being a roadman, you weren't doing a quote-unquote madness to you, it's still a madness to God. Sin is actually sin. Like, sin is sin. At the end of the day, a carnal mind is enmity with God. At the end of the day, friendship with the world is enmity with God. So I just kind of wanted to say that for people who, I know a lot of people often kind of may feel like that, like, no, I don't really have a testimony, like, I wasn't really bad like that, it's calm. But to be honest, the testimony is that God turned you from darkness to light. Amen. And yeah, like I said, even though you was in the flesh, those in the flesh cannot please God. You was not pleasing God. So at the end of the day, whilst my testimony may not be like, oh, people, he was doing like madness, I was still doing madness to God. When you judge it by worldly standards, you look at it and say, okay, cool, like, if I'm judging it by the flesh, yeah, it's not that bad, it's calm. But if you're judging it by godly standard, it's actually not on. That's why in Romans chapter 3 verses 23, it says, for we all fall short of the glory of God. You know, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's like God's standard and our standard is literally not equal at all. So that's why a lot of times we're like, oh yeah, I'm calm. But it's according to men's standard. But when you think about your life, you need to think about it and weigh it in the standard of God. Am I actually pleasing to Christ? You know, is everything that I'm doing something that he would say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or is he going to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you? So I think that's why the Bible also tells us that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our minds need to be renewed, because what we see as okay is actually not okay to God. You know, because for example, Saul, you see Saul, he was King Saul, right? And God said, listen, when you go to that battle, don't bring back anything. Actually destroy every single thing. But he came back bringing King Agag, right? And he's like really excited, like, yeah, I'm gonna bring this, I'm gonna sacrifice this, this is like a token that I've really done this thing. But God, like, for men they can clap for you, but in the sight of God you're disqualified. You know, in that very moment God said, I regret making you king, I'm actually taking you off, like, I actually regret making you king. Like, he actually really, really did not like what Saul had done. And it's the same with Moses. When you see Moses did not enter the promised land. It's so crazy to think, because it's like, Moses, like, you didn't make the promised land. Like, God called you to do this great and mighty mission, you didn't even make the promised land. Which is deep, is because you done something. God said, speak to the rock, but you struck the rock. Did God tell you to strike the rock? Did he tell you, or did he tell you to speak to the rock? So when you're doing things, and even the Israelites, wow, like, one thing we always say in church is like, the Israelites would be saying, go Mo, like, wow, you struck the rock. This is some powerful thing that you have done. But God's looking at you and saying, you're disqualified. So I don't know, all of that I'm to say that don't ever feel like your testimony is too small to share. I was in service on Wednesday and my head pastor was saying that your mess will become your message. And so today I'm here to just let you guys know my mess, because my past is kind of messy. Like, it's not messy to the extent like you might think, like doing the madness. But as I said, the standard of God and the standard of man is not the same. So it may not be messy in comparison to other people, but it's still messy. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And so today, I'm just trying to turn off low power mode because my phone keeps locking. But yeah, today I'm here to tell you guys my mess. And that is becoming a message to edify and to encourage you guys. Amen. So yeah, guys. So DD back in the world, how was DD like? So I was just a girl. Now I'm saying, but I was a girl who was full of lust, insecure. Oh boy, insecure to the max, yeah. So craved attention, loved attention, but yeah, just very lustful. But yeah, we can kind of start off from the insecurities, right? So when I was in year 8, obviously guys, I'm dark skin beauty, you know what I'm saying? I'm a dark skin girl, right? And guys, one thing about dark skins is we was not getting no love. Nowadays, yeah, people are like, oh, dark skins. Yeah, sometimes it becomes a trend to love dark skin. Sometimes it doesn't. It just like fluctuates, I guess. But when I was in year 8, it was not on. Like, it was like, dark skins, you're blick. You're blick, you're a shadow, you're dark. Like, we can't see you. Like, it was very much that. So it was quite deep. Do you know what I'm saying? So what had happened was, obviously, I used to get bullied, like, just about my skin tone. Like, what would happen? Oh, I keep saying like, oh my days, stop that thing. God, I'm just thinking about when I'm going to edit it, I'm going to hit like. It's like, girl, just stop that. Anyway, yeah. So what would happen is when I would be on my way home from school, I went to this all-girls school. And when I would go home from this all-girls school, you would pass this all-boys school, like, to go home. So I would pass that school. And to be honest, I wasn't really using wisdom. Like, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, like, for example, guys, you know, with like your weakness, like you like this boy and you know, you like this boy, but you're acting like oblivious. Like, no, I can chat to him at 12 midnight. No, I'm actually fine. Like, no. And then when you fall, you're kind of like, oh, like, I never knew that was going to happen, girl. Stand up, boy, stand up. Like, you knew. Do you know what I'm trying to say? That's why you have to know your weakness and know your enemy. You have an enemy who knows your Achilles heel, your weakness. So you need to make sure that, don't be acting oblivious. But I was obviously acting that way because the way I would walk home, it was a quicker way, yes. So yeah, naturally say, why should I go a different way for people? But realistically, if it was really harming me, I could have actually gone a different way. I used to walk home. That's why I was slim guy. Okay, slim is a drag. But like, I was losing weight because I would walk to school. It was like 40 minutes. I would walk home every day. Why was I doing this? Nobody forced me. I just actually really liked it. And it just helped me to slim down. Trust me. So yeah, anyways, I would walk that way and I'd go past the boys' school. So yeah, the boys would just, yeah, you know how boys are. Yeah, they would just really get deep. So I was like really close with this girl who I'm still actually friends with till this day. And they would just call us Shadow and Snow. Like, oh my days. Like, literally every time we would walk past, they would shout, like, we would go down the hill and they'd be up shouting Shadow and Snow. What they would say to me is, oh, you're darker than our blazer. They would literally blick all the time, and it really took a toll on me, like, really, to the point of that I was so insecure about my skin tone. Like, I hated it, but by God's grace, I was never to the point of like, I'm gonna bleach, I'm gonna change my skin tone. It was just a thing of crying, going to the bathroom and crying, like genuinely just crying, because I just felt like, oh my days, like, why are you calling me blick, why are you calling me shadow? Like, you know, for example, nowadays it's like sometimes people banter with their friends and they're like, oh, you're so dark, you're so blick. For me, that's like a trigger. It's like, chai. Like, now I don't care too much because I love being dark skin. I'm confident in my skin tone. I'm actually confident, period. Amen. So I don't really care when people do that joke, but I'm not a person to joke and be like, oh, you're so dark. Like, for me, those jokes are not jokes, but I'm also not like so sensitive because, as I said, I'm confident. I've overcome that, but it's just not a bit of me. Do you know what I'm saying? But yeah, so they would say Shadow and Snow, blick, all those things. Like, they would proper say that to me. And then obviously in about like year 9, year 10-ish, like, I was like hopping on YouTube, right? And then I would like hop in public videos of people that, you know, used to do YouTube. And in the public videos, in the comments, I remember, like, I don't think this thing will ever leave my brain. Like, never. Like, I can literally say the story perfectly to the T. Like, I can even bring up my 2020 videos about colorism and compare it to what I'm saying right now. And it will literally be in alignment. That's how it's so engraved. You know, when somebody's just deep, like, that's how the word should be. That the word is just engraved in your heart. That you can't forget the word. You're able to speak the word in every situation. But, yeah, for me, like... Yeah, they were just like saying in the comments, like, oh, I can't see anyone. It's just a floating t-shirt. That comment, oh my days. They would get at me because, like, in my profile picture, it was like a picture of me in the sun. And they was like, rah, like, in her profile picture, she's looking light skin, but in person, in this video, she's so dark. Like, like, people would come for me. And bear in mind, like, I'm just in the public video. Like, I wasn't doing anything wrong. Like, I wasn't saying anything bad. I wasn't cursing anyone. I wasn't being rude. Like, I was just in someone's video. And from that time, like, it just made me really not want to be in people's videos. I remember when we was in Stratford and there was just like, you know, come in the video. And I would just be like, no, like, they're like, oh, but, you know, you're doing YouTube. You know, you have to kind of like do these things, like, which is fair. Like, if you're trying to do YouTube, like, you've got to put yourself out there. I was just like, no, a lot of people are going to cuss me in the comments. And, you know, that just like continued like my insecurity. Then, obviously in 2020, was lockdown, right? And I was in this Easter service, and obviously talking about Jesus, like, Easter is about Jesus. And I don't know, like, something came over me to just feel convicted. Obviously Holy Spirit, he was calling me at that time, and like, I just felt like, wow, like, Jesus died for me. Like, I actually want to like build a relationship with him. And then obviously shout out to my girl Key, like, we started to do Bible plans. She put me onto Bible plans on the Bible app. If you're new in the faith, I would really highly recommend the Bible plans. Like, they helped me thoroughly when I was so like such a babe in Christ. I would do Bible plans always. So what it does, it gives a devotional, like, any topic that you want, anything that you want to know, search it on the Bible app, and it gives you the devotional. And then it gives like maybe 4 different verses, so you're able to read the word and also learn from the devotional. It helped me so much. So I started to do that. And then obviously, because I had been doing YouTube, like I said, I just started to like thank God, or just say things like God, or because I was building, right? I was building my relationship with him. So I would naturally just be like, God, or this. And then people were like, rah, like, you know, Didi, I love how you're like a Christian. Like, I love how you're like this. Like, it was so nice. I remember when people would ask me how to be confident being dark skinned in 2020. And I would say, do you know what? Just recognizing that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, just understanding that God has made you. And that actually did encourage me to be confident. But also at the same time, like, of course, I was so fresh, and like, I was still actually worldly. And at the end of the day, James 4:4 says, friendship with the world is enmity with God. It says, adulteresses and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? So whoever makes himself a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And so I was at that stage, because I would say, yeah, thank you, God. And yeah, be, you know, reading my Bible plans, but I'll still be in the parties. And also one thing about me, God, amen, God, amen. One thing about me, guys, is that I also was a flirter. And listen, I'm going to talk to you guys, flirters, king, queen, flirters. Many people feel like, because I'm flirting, but I'm not doing anything, I'm actually okay. But let me tell you, it's not okay. You know, like, for example, the Bible says the will of God for us is your sanctification. So the will of God is my sanctification, is your sanctification. What is sanctification? Being set apart. And then it has, you know, a semicolon, and it goes on to explain. It says that you may abstain from sexual immorality. But, you know, one time I was doing a study on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and, you know, I think it's verse 19 that tells us to flee sexual immorality. When I was looking at it in the Amplified version, it was speaking about like any type, and it started to break down like what it actually means. And I started to realize, oh my days, like, even things like flirting, that stuff is actually wrong. Like, sometimes we feel like, oh no, but it's just a bit of fun, like, but God is actually displeased with you doing that. Like, that is actually distasteful. And I would be someone who could actually flirt. Like, I remember I would go on Yubo. If you guys remember Yubo, that yellow app, yeah, in lockdown days, everybody was on Yubo. I was also on Yubo. I was just somebody who, yeah, would just love to flirt. And I'm telling you guys, it's actually not befitting. I actually want to read the scripture that I'm talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9. I think it's verses 9. It should be, by the grace of God, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, versus, okay. Okay, this one, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. But I'm trying to find the one that says, like, sexual immorality. And I know it's in 1 Corinthians. And it says of any type. Guys, I need to find it. So 1 Corinthians, sexual immorality of any type. Like, that's the amplified version. It's 1 Corinthians 6:18. Okay, cool. All right, guys, I was nearly there. I was nearly there. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, yeah, verse starting from verse 18, and the Bible reads, run away from sexual immorality in any form. Okay, wait, let's even just go back. The Bible says, run away. So it goes back to what I was saying about being oblivious. Some of us know that, like, we're actually putting on our clothes and walking into that state where we're going to sin. And sometimes we'll make it like, no, I'm not even doing that. You know, when people are like, I'm just going back to give him his hoodie back. Come on, girl. You don't need to give him his hoodie back. Go into his house. Come on, girl. Like, let's be for real. The Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it doesn't matter how much. It's not about your intentions, really. It's not about, I have good intentions. When I'm going there, my intention is not to fornicate. Hello. You think that devil cares about your intention, that you don't care to fornicate? You're putting yourself in that avenue where you can mess up. Because at the end of the day, the Bible says don't give the devil a foothold. It says that don't give the enemy a foothold. Also, it says that we should not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. So if you're with every intention, you go there. Yes, it's genuine. You don't want to fornicate. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You don't want to go there and be kissing him up. But you're putting yourself in that position. The Bible says run away. It actually says run away. That's something that we've been told to run away from. Like, it doesn't say that we should be fighting and trying to stand there and be like, no, I need to build my spirit, so I'm going to put myself in an atmosphere. No, it actually tells you to run. Like, God has actually told you to run. Okay. In any form. So this is the bit, yeah, that we're really taking it there. It says, whether thought or behavior, whether visual or written. That one, my God, do shit. You know how it says thought or behavior? It says whether visual or written. And I was like, written. You know when you're texting them flirty messages? Yeah. Stay away from it. Don't be texting. You're writing, oh my days, guys, writing love letters. Guys, please. Even in year six, was it year six? I believe it was year six. In year six, was it year six or year three? No, it was year three. Wait. Yeah, it was year, You remember year three? Yeah, guys, I'm like, because there was this video that I did, yeah, back in the day, and I was like, he's mine, not yours, okay? Remember, like, I liked him since year three, I think. Remember what I did in year three? So I was trying to think, was it year three? So I think I made that video, he's mine, not yours, in year six. But in year three, I actually did. Right, so I wrote a love letter in year three, guys. I'm telling you, like, this thing was actually deep. From year three, I'm thinking about writing love letters. Like, what is that? What was my exposure? I actually don't know. But year three, how old are you in year three? Like, you don't even know about this stuff. But I really liked this boy. Like, I liked him and he knew I liked him. I would go around the playground. Oh my days. I would literally go around the playground in my primary school, going around saying, I like the guy that I liked. I remember his name, everything. Like, it's actually crazy. I would go around the playground in year three. Well, whatever. Yeah, I don't know what year I would go around the playground saying that, but I would go around the playground and say, I like this guy. I liked it. Like, I would say around the playground, like, I didn't have no shame. Clearly, I had no shame at all. So yeah, that's embarrassing. Anyways, I wrote a love letter and I just got in trouble by, because my, like, what do you call your teacher? My head of year, whatever you call him, my form person, whatever it is called. He was like the deputy head of year. So yeah, he's just pulled me for a chat and he was just like, listen, you don't even know what love is. Like, first, so you don't even know what love is. And it's true, because I didn't really have Christ, and Christ, God is love. So yeah, it's true, he's preaching. I didn't actually know what love is, but I was telling him I like him a lot. Like, I was really doing up love letters. But yeah, it just really shows the type of person, like, I was raised to be. So from year three, writing love letters, like, it just developed and growed, like grew, not growed, English please. It just developed and grew. Like, as I grew, like, I just started to just like boys a lot. Like, guys, not gonna lie, one thing about it is that the devil will always try to make you feel like you're alone in your struggle, because 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 13 tells us that, you know, no temptation has overcome you like that except such as common to man. So once again, when I was in service, you know, when that scripture was actually read out, like Pastor was saying, like, you need to not like make yourself feel like your temptation is so like, oh my days, like I'm the only person that's going through this. No, you have to commonize it. It literally says, except such is common to man. So that's why it's also important to speak out. Sometimes you feel kind of shy to speak out about a struggle or something that you've done because you feel like nobody's going to get it or it's embarrassing. But trust and believe that you're not the only person who has done that thing. You're actually not the only person who has gone through that temptation. So when you speak out, you allow yourself to be free from whatever Satan is trying to keep you burdened and keep you in bondage of, you know? So yeah, I was really just on that wave and just grew up and just been in that worldly atmosphere. And then obviously, literally the summer before I joined Charis. So I joined my church 2021, July the 25th. So the summer before that, oh, I was outside. So July is summer, isn't it? But I mean like June, May. Oh, I was outside. I was out every time. Like, what's the mall? I'm there. I would get back at 6 a.m. Like I would literally go to the Mo and it's like, oh my days, now there's no trains, can't get home. I'm going to stay in somebody's accom, go home at 6 a.m. I was outside. Like, but the thing is, when I was outside, I would go to the parties, but I'm not drinking the alcohol, you know, but I was still outside. Even like year 9 times or year 10, like I would be so, oh my days. Yeah, I would be in the party, like, yeah, like in the party. So it's just like, yeah, and it was just my exposure and like, yeah, I was just exposed to that and I'll just be going to the parties and I'll just be there. And it's so funny because when I look back at it now, it's like I know that I wanted God, right? Like in the summer before joining Charis, because like, for example, when they would sing praise and worship at the parties, I would be so happy. Now I look at that and I'm saying, are you crazy? Like that's James 4:4 in action. Like that's actually despicable. You're in a party where you're having this alcohol, where you're getting drunk, where you're whining, somebody's controlling you. But for 2 minutes, you will now play gospel and feel like it's actually okay. And I felt like that because I was in the party, but it's like, so there was a party like in the park, like there was a party in a park, right? And we just started singing praise and worship. Like on the way there was like singing praise and worship. And you actually think that that's okay. Like when I was there, I was like, oh my gosh, yay. Like God, like we're singing, everybody shout hallelujah, hallelujah. Wait, is that, what's the song? Everybody blow your trumpet. Like we was singing all that. And thinking, yeah, we're eating down because you're singing praise and worship at the motive. I think that's so despicable. And actually, it's actually wild. Like, that's actually wild. This people don't fear God again because you'll be in the motive doing something that you know the Holy Spirit will never be comfortable being at. Like, and you're singing praise and worship. So you think that you're doing right. In fact, it's even worse that you're playing praise and worship in the motive in the club. Like, it's actually just craziness. But yeah, I would be in the party and I'd literally be like slapping myself like, yeah, everybody, I would be like, yay, like, you know, I'm here, but you know, I'm singing praises, so I'm fine. It's no, complacency is so wrong. Like when you don't genuinely fear the Lord, you don't have reverence for the Lord, you'll do things like that. And it's actually despicable. God have mercy. Like really, the Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verses 30, in your ignorance, God winked. In my ignorance, God winked. He honestly showed me great mercy because that was just out of order. You know what I'm trying to say? But then, yeah, like, obviously, I then came to Christ proper. Like when I joined church, like it was just like, wow. Like one thing about it is when you hear the word of God, you have to act. Like you, if you're, unless you're somebody with a hardened heart, you know, but I was somebody who I was just really receiving the word and I didn't change overnight. Because even in like 2020 times when I would talk about God, like, and I do things that was just like not good. People say, oh, but I thought you said you're holy. And I really, really struggled with that. I remember I made a video saying like I'm taking a break or something because it was just too much for me. I would just think like, why is everybody coming to me and saying, oh, why are you doing this? I thought you said you were holy. And I was like, listen guys, I never even said I was holy. I was just talking about Christ, you know. But that's the reality of it. When you are in Christ, you are actually an ambassador of him. So don't let, like, there's a scripture in the Bible that says the name of God is blasphemed because of you. And that's so bad. Like, you know, people are actually watching you. Like, the arena is packed. When you're in your Christian life, people think it's just me, myself, and it's just me, it's just between me and God. But nobody should have a say in my Christian life. And I guess I was like that too. Like, guys, I never said I'm holy, and like, just because I'm and I'd be kind of like, why are you kind of in her? But it's actually very true. Like, if you're putting yourself out there to say that you're a believer, don't let the name of God be blasphemed because of you. And I'm not to say that we're going to be perfect, but the Bible talks about carousing in the daytime. You know that you're out here, you're a social media influencer, but you're actively posting, oh yeah, I'm in the club, I'm doing this. And I'm not to say that you should do things in secret and pretend like you're this holy Christian, but it's also like, I'm posting this. It's a difference between you coming out and saying, guys, I'm not going to lie, like, I've done this thing, and like, actually just being open to, for people to be helped. Like, for example, today, I'm here telling you guys what I used to do. That's me being open about struggles and things that I used to do, so that with the mindset of, okay, this is going to help edify somebody, anybody who's maybe in that position right now, they may be strengthened by the grace of God. But it's a difference between me actually going to a motive and then snapping it and posting it. Because baby Christians, like, the Bible is so key in Romans. It talks about those who are weak in the faith. We as believers shouldn't be people who allow people to stumble. It says, you yourself, like, you're strong in the faith, cool. So you're like, okay, I can eat anything, it doesn't matter, I will eat pork, I will eat this. But somebody who's weak in the faith is around you, and that's making them stumble, then you should not. He said, okay, then I won't eat that if it's going to make you stumble. That's what we need to understand, that Christianity is against privacy. You know, Christianity is a one another life. Christianity is, I'm doing this, and I have somebody in mind that can actually be benefit, that can actually grow on the back of what I'm doing. It's not like, oh, it's just between me and God, nobody can judge me, nobody can tell me what to do all my days, like, why are you judging me? Why? No, like, you should never have that mentality. Because the moment you are saying you're a Christian, you're a representative of Christ. So when people are seeing you, whilst of course we shouldn't kind of base God on because of somebody, like, you know, when people say like, oh, this person hurt me, so I'm no longer a Christian, I'm no longer going to church. Hello, you don't go to church because that person is not Christ. No, Christ is Christ. We are humans who have flesh, who, you know, will sin and will mess up. God will never fail you though, because he who promised is faithful. You know, he is so faithful, and we are not the same as him. However, we are ambassadors, we are representatives of him. So don't ever feel like, okay, no one should have a say in what I do, because people are watching you, you know, and people are watching you, and on the back of what you do, people are encouraged. Okay, should I read my Bible more? Or it doesn't matter what I do then. You know, I'll just say I'm a Christian on social media, or I'll just say I'm a Christian, but it doesn't actually matter how I live. And it does. It does. Of course it matters how you live, because the Bible says that we should bear fruits worthy of repentance, you know? So I can't come and say, yeah, I'm a believer, I believe in Jesus Christ, I love Jesus, but I'm just living a life that people are looking and saying, like, why should I be a Christian then? Our lives are totally the same. We're in the same rave, we're in the same motive, we're doing the same things. So it's like, okay, then why then? It's so deep though, because like, when in 2020 times, when I'd be around people who would, like, maybe they're smoking or they're drinking, like, they would say to me like, sorry Didi, or like, they would acknowledge that I'm doing this around Didi who is a Christian. And I thank God for those morals, like, that people would see me as a person who, wow, like, this person actually wants to know Christ. So I actually feel awkward swearing, like, people when they swear, they'll be like, oh my day, sorry, like, they would acknowledge me as somebody who, yeah, like, we're not going to do that around. And so I just, if you reflect and look back, it's like, God really did have a calling for me. He really did have a calling for me. It was just like, I had to go through that lessons, you know, to be like where I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. But yeah, it's been a journey. You know, obviously I spoke about in my second episode, which was overcoming lust and temptations. Like I spoke about in that one. So I'll put it on the I don't know whether I will be here. Yeah, I'll put it on the I, so you can go watch that full video about overcoming lust and temptation, because you may be somebody who is struggling with lust. I have spoken about how I overcame it, so I don't want to get too much into it. But yeah, from like when I was in secondary school, I just would really, like, I was just exposed to things that I just say, God, may you cleanse my memory. Like, I don't even want to think about those things. I don't want to ever see those things again. Like, I find it so gross. Like, I was really on that, watching those stuff. But yeah, like, God really delivered me from that. and God can actually deliver you. I know sometimes when you're in it, it's just like, oh, but why can't I stop watching it? But I feel like just don't think about why can't I stop this. Think about how can I know Christ more? Because as you know Christ more, those things that are of the world just actually feel distasteful to you. Like what I used to love, watch multiple times a day, now I think it's actually disgusting. Like that is actually vulgar that I actually thought that was nice once upon a time. But that's come from my love for God. It's like because I love God so much and because I'm building, I actually find things that he doesn't like, I also don't like it. And that's where you have to get to that position, because if God forbid, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to pray, I'm not going to read my Bible for a few weeks, like I probably would go back to my old self, because you need to be building up daily. Like the Bible says that men, Luke 18:1, that men always ought to pray and not to faint, you know? So if you're not praying, you're fainting, you know? And what does fainting look like? Listen, all I'm saying is don't try it, because you don't want to see what fainting looks like. You know, you want to be somebody who's consistent in your prayer life. You want to be somebody who's consistent in wanting to know Christ and going deeper. I mean, Apostle Paul, who knew Christ so much, he said, listen, everything I count it as dung, I count it as rubbish for the excellency of knowing Christ. You can never get to a stage where you're like, oh yeah, I know Christ so much, like I don't even need to do anything anymore. No, there's always more. There's always more deeper depths that you can get to. Of knowing Christ, you know, there's always more that you can know about him, because hello, like Christ is Christ. God, like there's so much mysteries to him that we can really get to know. So yeah, I don't know, like maybe I've missed some things because I didn't really have like thorough, like, okay, I'm going to talk about this. Like I just wanted to kind of share with you guys my testimony. And now like I, by God's grace, I'm delivered from lust. I'm delivered from those things. And yeah, of course we have flesh. So sometimes the flesh is weak, but you just have to keep building yourself and just rebuke and just say it is written. Whenever a temptation is coming, like just say it is written and just know that the Lord is your strength. Like he's actually in you, working on you and conforming you to the image of his son. Yeah, I'm not perfect 100%, but I'm not where I was. And when I reflect back, it's just like, thank you, Jesus, for like taking me out of that lifestyle of insecurity, of being just loving, craving, dying, you know, when you're dying for it, you're asking for it, like dying for men attention, male attention. And just now just being in Christ and just understanding the plans that he has for me, plans to prosper me, to give me a future, you know, peace, hope, like just actually understanding that he is in control of everything and not kind of being afraid or ashamed about anything. It's a blessing, you know, when I look back and I'm like, rah, Didi, like you was really just silly, you know, but God has delivered me and God can also deliver you. You know, it just takes you receiving him and allowing yourself to go through the changes. Because for me, like I've spoke about this before, like it was so hard for me to let go of my past life and actually just enter the new life that God, you know, wanted me to enter. It was so hard, but I realized that if you want, like if you want to go deeper in Christ, there's certain things that you can't remain the same person, you know. And so I had such a hard time just leaving my past, but now I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Honestly, thank you, Jesus, that I left my past, that I left some people, that I am free, you know. But it had to come with sacrifices, you know. You have to sacrifice things. You have to, what can you say that you're sacrificing for to know Christ? Like I said, Paul said he literally considers things as rubbish just to know Christ more. Like these things are rubbish, these things are, yeah, they're not anything, because I want to know Christ more, you know. I'm trying to think if there's anything that I've missed out, you know. Obviously I've talked about being bullied, being insecure, you know, struggling with lust. And I remember, like, I would always just be like, yeah, like, I can't, like, I genuinely would think that, yeah, this thing is going to be a forever thing, like, I can't actually overcome, but you can, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. So, it's like, yeah, 1 John 5:4, I think, or is that, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Anyways, it's 1 John. So, it is possible for you to be set free, but you need to understand, you know, when you understand that Christ has died so he can set you free, like you need to walk in that, walk in your purpose, walk in that.
Amen. So guys, I pray that by God's special grace, you are blessed by my testimony. As I said at the start, my mess will become a message. And I just pray that genuinely today's episode has edified somebody, even if it's one person that has been blessed and has acknowledged that, okay, my mess shall become a message, and not feeling shy to share what God has delivered you from. Because I've been there where it's like, oh, this is cringe. Like, I don't want to tell someone that I was doing this, that I was watching that, that was, and I still get like that sometimes, but God is helping me. He really is helping me. But as always, I never end an episode without giving somebody the opportunity to give their life to Christ. What does it mean to give your life to Christ? The Bible says that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day just to save you, that you will actually be saved. But it just takes you believing that in your heart and then confessing that with your mouth. You know, it's kind of like wedding vows. Like, you know, you can't be saying that's my husband, but you guys didn't go and officiate it. You know what I'm saying? So if you want to be married to Jesus, then repeat after me. Amen. Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner. Lord, I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, and on the third day you rose again, that I may have eternal life when I believe in your name. Lord, I invite you today into my heart, into my life, to be my Lord and my personal Savior. I repent for my sins and I pray that you will cleanse me from this day onwards. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, I'm actually so sad. I literally forgot my water at home. I put it in the fridge and everything. My throat is dry. But anyways, if you've given your life to Christ, I'm so happy that you have joined the family. You know, the Bible rejoices over the Bible, the heavens rejoice over one, the angels rejoice over one sinner that gives their life to Christ. So I am so proud of you for making that big step. And if you have made that big step, please do make sure that you DM me on Instagram, dd.kay, and I will be sure, by the special grace of God, to help you with this journey. Because as I said, Christianity is against privacy, all right? So you need to do this journey alongside the brethren, and God will strengthen you and he will indeed help you. But yeah, guys, love you guys so much, and I am out.